It's like in the great stories, Mr. Frodo. The ones that really mattered. Full of darkness and danger they were. And sometimes you didn't want to know the end. Because how could the end be happy? How could the world go back to the way it was when so much bad happened? But in the end, it's only a passing thing. This shadow. Even darkness must pass. A new day will come. And when the sun shines, it'll shine out the clearer. Those were the stories that stayed with you. That meant something. Even if you were too small to understand why. But I think, Mr. Frodo, I do understand. I know now. Folk in those stories had lots of chances of turning back, only they didn't. They kept going. Because they were holding on to something. What are we holding on to, Sam? But there's some good in this world, Mr. Frodo. And it's worth fighting for.
That there's some good in this world, and it's worth fighting for. That there's some good in this world, and it's worth fighting for. Hey guys, I am awfully sick. I've been sick now for about 3 days, and some of you guys who have been following me on Instagram have seen the deterioration of my face, which didn't start off really all that great looking, and right about now feels like it's taken punches from Rocky Balboa for about 15 rounds. My eyes are shot. I have bags under my eyes. I haven't really shaved all that well because, to be honest, my nose or the area underneath it is so chafed with me blowing it that it hurts to cut, and going out in the cold just exasperates things. And so I have this weird shadow that it's not attractive. I'm a Mexican hairless. I don't look well with stubble, and right about now I think I look like hell. As you can tell from my voice, it's pretty grody. Interestingly enough, I met with some people earlier this afternoon and they told me it was quite attractive. So I guess when I'm at my sickest, I sound my best. It's been a shitty week. Again, the cold, it hasn't helped. And this probably has been the worst cold I've had in over a decade. I'm not the kind of person that a slight cold stops me. My parents were the type of people that you could have 105 degree fever and you were still expected to go out there and make shit happen. And I kept that work ethic for as long as I can remember. If something needs to get done, doesn't matter. You go out there and do it. You have to be in your deathbed to stop. And so if I have commitments, I have responsibilities, I will not let, a slight cold keep me away from it. So it's got to be pretty extreme for me to cancel things. But this week it just came to a head. It went from bad to worse to even worse than that. And today it's calmed down enough for me to feel good enough to record and share with you. But as soon as I'm done with this, I think I'll go in bed and cover myself under 5 layers of blankets, because that's what I need. On top of that, my wife also got sick this week. She didn't get my cold. She actually got a stomach flu. And for about 2 days, she was completely done for. She took the half of her bed and didn't leave it for a long time because it would just really got that bad. And with her, it was the constant throwing up. And that kid doesn't ever do it. So when it does happen, the heaving just takes its toll. It messes up her back. It's just terrible. Plus, she couldn't sleep. And my wife on no sleep is no bueno. That's no good in Spanish for some of you who don't speak Spanish. So that's been pretty shitty. After she got sick, after we knew she was sick and we woke up, and when the kids still needed to be, who have themselves colds but not as bad, we needed to run them to school. And so I rallied up whatever energy I had, and even looking like death in pajamas, I drove them down to the schools, dropped them off, and I told them that I would get them in the afternoon, as usual. And then my wife had asked me if I could please get her some Gatorade and maybe something from the local drugstore to see if it would abate the flu system that she had. So, of course, went and dropped off the kids, then drove to the parking lot very close to the drugstore that we live in, and just went in, grabbed some Gatorade, went and looked around for some of the things that she wanted and came back. And that process took about 3.5 minutes. As soon as I paid for everything, I head back to the car, and all of a sudden I realize I don't have my keys. Oh, shit, okay, I must have left them on the counter. I go back to the counter inside the store, and they don't have them. Okay, well, maybe it was by the Gatorade. Go back there. Nope, they haven't fallen. I kind of pace around the store, and I can't find them. I'm like, well, that's strange. I'll go look back outside the car. This went back and forth and back and forth for about an hour and a half. I don't know how the fuck I did it, but in 3.5 minutes' time, I managed to lose all of my keys. I walked back home to get the extra set that we have here, cold and with the illness, and told her, I don't know what I did, but I've lost them, and she wasn't in any mood to kind of hear me out. She's like, all right, we'll just go back and get our car, and I'm sure they'll turn up. They just never did. Now, we have two vehicles. One my wife takes to work. Obviously, the other one I putt-putt around our hometown here in Monrovia. But we need our cars, right? Also, I coach, as some of you guys know, and I translate as a freelancer, and I do all sorts of these little odd jobs here and there to make some extra cash. And without my vehicle, without my wheels, I'm pretty fucked. So getting my car up and running was paramount. And you know, an hour turned into two, and before it got too late, we're like, okay, well, I guess we'll have to call the locksmith and find out what it takes to get our keys. I'll tell you that one of the things that pisses me off about our newer cars is that everything is electronic. It's not like back in the day when you could have an auto mechanic come out and, you know, change some gears and some sprockets here and there and the flux capacitor and whatnot and get your car running. No, now everything needs to be hooked up to a fucking computer to make it work. And so even as old as my truck is, it needed to be worked out. So long story short, my loss of those keys cost us $500. And I'm sure as you guys who follow me constantly know that this has not been the best year financially. And so a $500 expense come middle of December is a fucking fuck up. A few weeks ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago, I don't know if I talked about it on the podcast, I was on my way to an appointment. I was rushing and I completely forgot to take the nozzle off my car. I was as I was pumping gas into it, and I drove away with the nozzle stuck to the vehicle still. And that little tidbit cost me about $300. So about $800 within the last 3 months has been on just these stupid little things that I do because I'm not in my right mind when I'm doing. In this case, I was sick, and the other one, I was rushing. But I got to a point where I just cracked because we can't afford this shit, and now it's gone back to back and happens. Now, I've gone years without any issues, but these have been bunching up. And they fucking piss me off because we cannot be doing this right now. I also had basketball games this week for my teams. And like I said, it takes a lot for me to cancel practices. It takes a lot for me to not be there for the guys. And these guys count on me to be there. And I knew that we have some big games going into it, because if we could win Then we had a shot at finals for one team that's struggling, and that we, you know, the other team, I'm sure that we're going to make it to playoffs no matter what. But I had the challenge of that. And so all of these things, and I think more, a lot of it is just my overall mental health. When it comes to get sick, it depresses me to not be able, to not be capable, to be impotent, to see things that need to get done and not have the capacity to do them. It's stupid, but like, for instance, my wife had to wash dishes the other day, right? Like, that's something that I do, that I take a lot of great effort for either my children or myself to do them, so she doesn't have to, right? She works way too fucking hard. But she had to do them. She had to come home and take care of the household because I was laid up in bed. That chips away at who I am. And it's for better or for worse, right? That people pick up the slack, but she was hurting too, and she did it. And so the fact that I couldn't just drives me up the wall. Yesterday we had our last game of the season for our guys, and one of my teams struggled, and they did not win. And the guys were getting on each other like, you know, teenagers tend to do, and I was trying to muster up words of encouragement, but I didn't have them, to the point where I stood there in front of them. We weren't on our home turf. We were at an away game. And I basically had to tell them that I had no words for them. I couldn't find the combination to make them feel better, to assuage their worries and concern. I had no heroics in me. I was so damn tired, and I also had to coach a second team right after the other. So it's been, like I said, a pretty shitty week in a variety of ways. Then, right before I started recording today, I was starting to do laundry and getting dinner together for the night because I'm feeling well enough to do that. And I happened to walk by the report cards that my kids brought in this week. And they put them on our bar here at home. And I had not really paid a lot of attention to them because I haven't been in a place to really focus on it. I mean, I knew that they were in and I knew that they were doing well, but I assume, like always, that yeah, that's just par for the course. My kids don't struggle in that way. But today I stopped and I looked at the photo of my kiddo smiling, because that's the way the report cards come, with this just series of A's, A pluses on it. And it was glaring to me in a moment of, holy shit, he is kicking ass in school. I know he was doing well, but I didn't realize how well. I just assumed, you know, because that has been his, you know, that has been always been his forte, but I noticed how well he's doing. And I tell you, it lifted my spirits. That little bit that I started from was from The Lord of the Rings. I think it was The Two Towers. And it's Samwise Gamgee. I don't know, never pronounce his name. I'm talking to Frodo at a very low point. And there were several low points during the story where Sam kind of had to, like, give that heroic speech and saying, shit passes. You know, the bad things that are going on, they will move on. There will be brighter days ahead. And that there are things worth fighting for. And I realized that, yes, I had a really tough week, but there are things worth fighting for. That I had a tough week, but my kids still excelled. I had a rough week, and I had to spend money that I didn't have. We didn't have to spend money that we didn't have, but at least we had it to spend it, and I have the means to go get more. I have the ability, I have the talent, I have the resources to go get more. And that, as I look at, you know, these games that we're playing, these basketball games, the winning and the losing is not paramount. What is are the life lessons that I'm teaching these young men, and the life lessons that they're teaching me. How to struggle with a loss. How to cooperate with your teammates. How to trust other people. how to take a win and be responsible, and a variety of other things. And we're learning that together. That my life is comprised of having these adventures in humanity, and that I get to see different things from all sorts of walk of life, and to experience life, experience the challenges of other people and be of help. The holidays put a lot of pressure on us sometimes to put a happy face on. And sometimes that gets to be too much. But if you're out there and you're struggling and you're hurting right now, just know there are things worth fighting for. That the dims and dales of life are temporary. You will have ups and you will have downs, but they're temporary. So you need to accommodate. You need to have strategies to cope with all of them. I think that my son's report card today saved me from a day of despair until they came home. Because I'm feeling actually pretty good right now. Maybe not physically, but in my head I feel fantastic. Because it's a validation of the work that I'm doing. That is part of fuck-ups that I have because I'm human. That in the totality of things, I'm doing pretty okay. So take stock out there and realize that, unless it's extremely dire, you're doing okay. And if it is that bad, seek help out. Yeah, I go to a lot of meetings, and I know I talk about this a lot on the show, but it's important that you need to self-advocate. I talk to a lot, I do a lot of talking about that with people, about self-advocate, ask for help. Don't be ashamed of saying, I am hurting and I need help. That there should be no stigma to that. Because we all hurt sometimes. We all struggle. The difference between somebody who's going to make it and somebody who's not is whether you have the sense of mind to ask for assistance. And not worry about what you're going to look like to other people. I don't have much more to say, guys. Again, in my head, I'm feeling all right. Body-wise, I'm pretty shot. But I'm going to get better. And I'll come back in the next week or so, and I'll bore you with other tales, other long, long tales. But I'm thankful for all of you, for those who listen, for those who include me in the comments on Twitter or on Instagram, who reach out and say, hey, you know what, I feel what you feel, or hey, you made a difference. That's pretty fantastic. It lifts this old man's spirits, it really does. Catch you guys later. Peace.